All right. So do you routinely honk at the car in front of you once the stoplight turns green? Or perhaps you often bypass slow workers on the sidewalk or press an already illuminated elevator button in hoping to get to your destination even faster. How many of us get irritated at the grocery store when we can't get down the aisle we want because people are stopped and looking at something? If so, you're not alone. According to a survey, more than half of Americans admit to honking after the light turns green. A majority will only wait 10 seconds or less before passing a slow walker on the sidewalk. And 72% of people admit to pushing an elevator button more than once. In the survey, a surprising disconnect was revealed. Nearly 80% of respondents rated themselves as being patient. But in reality, here are some other statistics that reveal impatient tendencies in most Americans. 96% of Americans will knowingly consume extremely hot food or drink that burns their mouth. 63% do so frequently. More than half of people hang up on the phone after being on hold only for a minute. 71% of people exceed the speed limit to get to their destination faster. And here's one my girls can relate to. Americans will binge watch an average of 7 TV episodes in a single setting. See, then she's out. Nearly a third of the respondents ages 18 to 24 wait less than 1 second before bypassing a slow walker. Gen Yers check their phones on average 8 times when watching to hear back from someone they've contacted. And when waiting for a table at a restaurant, nearly a quarter of the respondents ages 18 to 24 wait less than 1 minute before approaching the host again after the wait period has passed. This demand for instant results is seeping into every corner of our lives. Anyone who's growled in frustration while waiting for a website to load or be on hold in a doctor's office knows delay is in short supply. We've come to expect things so quickly that people can't wait more than a few seconds for a video to load on the internet. If we order something online and it takes more than 2 days to get there, we think that's really absurd. The need for instant gratification is not new, but our expectation of instant has become faster, and as a result, our patience has become thinner. We are unable to truly respect that some things do, in fact, take time. That leads me to my passage this morning. So let's look at Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave, perhaps I can build a family through her." Anybody see some disconnects in there already? I thought that was really interesting that the Lord has kept me from having children. Already she's buying into a lie. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. God made a promise to Abraham, the father of faith. God promised him that he would make him the father of a great nation, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Just 4 chapters earlier, we can see the promise of God and where it was made. That comes from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." In order for this promise to be fulfilled, God had to bless Abram with a son. Abram was old in age, and Sarai, his wife, was barren. In fact, she laughed when told that she would one day bear a son. They knew that God could do it, but they could not fathom it according to their natural circumstances. God worked according to his time, fulfilling the promise he made to his children, Abram and Sarai. Abram and Sarai began to grow impatient, waiting for their manifestation. Abram reminded God that he was getting old and that his only possible heir would be his servant, Eliezer. He thought that maybe God would allow him to make Eliezer the heir since his promised son had not yet come to pass. Doubt and fear started to come into play. Does that sound familiar to you? Maybe Abram felt that God had forgot about him, but God reassured him that his covenant would be fulfilled. His descendants would be so many that he would not even be able to count them. And God hasn't forgotten about us either. He does hear the cries of our hearts. We see again in chapter 15, God reaffirming his promise. Genesis 15, 1 through 5. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. Sarah, then Sarai, grew tired and frustrated when God's promise had not come to pass after 10 years of waiting. She told Abram to go and get Hagar, the maidservant, and bear a child with her. Abram was, in his weariness, agreed. Their action showed a lack of faith that God would fulfill his promise. In reality, it was an attempt to fulfill God's promise through human effort and natural means. Ishmael was born, but he was not the promised son from God. Both Abram and Sarah acted outside of God's will. When doubt creeps in, it creates a series of problems. It leads to taking matters into our own hands instead of waiting God to do it. We attempt to make his promises come to pass through efforts that are not in line with his specific directions nor his word. Time may be the greatest test of our willingness to let God work in our lives. Sometimes we simply must just wait. However, we can want something so bad, we sometimes become blind to Satan's tricks, thinking they are a blessing from God. We can want something or someone to be what we have been praying for so badly that we often ignore the Holy Spirit's whispering, that really isn't God's promise for you. We often miss the red flags. Remember that whenever you are outside of the will of God, we are also missing the best plan that God has for us. While waiting on God to fulfill his promises, there will be times that we might be tempted to take matters into our own hands, especially when there has been a long wait. We can either wait on God or we can take matters into our own hands. It really all depends on us, and the choice is ours. We either stay in the Spirit and wait on God, or we will get in the flesh and try to hurry things up. So what I want to do this morning is kind of compare and contrast the two children that Abram and Sarah had. And just to give us a little bit of background, I know I explained a little bit. So the first son that Abram and Hagar had was Ishmael. Now Ishmael, which also means God hears, was the son of Abram and Hagar, the Egyptian maid of his wife Sarah. When Sarah had found herself not having children, she arranged to have a child with Abram by Hagar, acting as a surrogate mother. Even though God has specifically stated that a child would be born to Sarah in due time. Ishmael was born when Abram was 86 years old, 11 years after Abram's arrival in what would become the land of Israel. He grew up to be a man of the desert wilderness with a wild and hostile attitude towards people, exactly as God described him to his mother before he was born. Now, the spirit of Isaac is quite the opposite. Isaac was the only son between Abraham and Sarah, and the father of Esau and Jacob, who God renamed Israel. The patriarchs are often named together in both the Old and New Testament. When God was speaking to Moses, God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Isaac's birth came about from a miracle. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah was about the age of 90. And they had been unable to have children. Isaac was not Abraham's firstborn or only son, though. As I mentioned, 14 years earlier, when Abraham was 86, Sarah had arranged for her child to be born to Abraham through her own Egyptian maidservant, Hagar. The promise that God had given them did not go through Ishmael because the covenant had already been made with Abraham with a yet unborn Isaac, the designated heir. And before Ishmael was conceived or born, while God does not play favorites, he was also not bound to any other arrangements or children that Abraham and Sarah had taken upon themselves to bring about after the matter had been firmly already decided by God. Now, I don't have time to go into all the other details. You know, God loves every single person. And there's things that happened between Hagar and Ishmael, and God did things with them too. And he provided for them. But we have to remember that Isaac was the promised son between Abraham and Sarah, and that's where the blessing and that's where the inheritance comes from. So the spirit of Ishmael will often lead a person to take matters into their own hands, behave ungodly, and oftentimes they will make fun of God or make light of God's promises. The first thing is taking matters in their own hands. Sarah knew that God had promised her and Abraham children, but after waiting for a while, she decided to take matters into her own hands. She asked Abram to try to have a child by her Egyptian maidservant. When we take matters into our own hands, it will often cost us something. Sarah paid a price for doing what she said, or what she did. Her young maidservant despised her when she realized that she was pregnant. Pride and hatred for Sarah began to fill Hagar. She then began to belittle Sarah. Belittling by Hagar was hurtful and humiliating. It caused a lot of pain, agony, and humiliation for Sarah. Like Sarah, when we do not wait on God to fulfill his promises, it will hurt us in the end as well. We too, if we don't wait on God, will suffer the consequences of rushing ahead of God. The spirit of Ishmael will also cause us to behave ungodly. Things did not turn out the way Sarah expected them to. Instead of being happy over her maidservant becoming pregnant, Sarah was very unhappy. She did not like the consequences of what she had done. She blamed everyone else, Abram and Hagar, while failing to take her share of the responsibility. In her quest for the promises of God, Sarah began to behave in an ungodly fashion. The Bible tells us that Hagar despised Sarah. However, Sarah's actions and behavior show that she despised and hated Hagar as well. Sarah was harsh in her treatment of Hagar, and we can see that in Genesis 16, 5 and 6. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. What could have been and should have been a happy and joyful event, which is the birth of a child, was turned into a sad time filled with turmoil and ungodly behavior. This sometimes can happen in our own lives as well. Picture some of these scenarios. You want a better job, so you take the first one that comes along only to end up finding out that job was worse than your previous job. or a couple falls in love and decides to get married too quickly and start a family, and then life gets difficult. They end up getting divorced a few short years afterwards. Or how about this? The church wants to grow and begins to compromise the Word of God. They begin to shape Christ around the culture instead of letting Christ shape the culture. And the last thing that the spirit of Ishmael can do is making fun of the promises of God. We can see that in Genesis 21, 5 through 11. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a child in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. So she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Sarah overheard Ishmael making fun of her son Isaac. Ishmael was making fun of the very promise of God to Abraham and Sarah. There will be times that while you are waiting on the promises of God that he has given to you, you may be made fun of or mocked or laughed at. There will always be scoffers while waiting for God to move. And I just want to encourage you to stand firm in God's promises during those times. Now, in contrast, we have the spirit of Isaac. The spirit of Isaac will lead a person or a family or a church or a nation to the blessings of God, to the promises of God, and to the covenant with God. Isaac was an example of God's perfect will. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. God's perfect will was for Sarah to have Isaac. We see that in a couple passages. In Genesis 18:10, it tells us this: "Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." In Genesis 21:1-3, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abram gave him the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him." So we can see here some of the blessings of God. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation and to bless all others through him. Let's look again at Genesis 17:1-8. "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.' Abram fell face down, and God said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.'" So we can also see there the promises of God. From the time that God spoke to Abraham with the promise of a son until it was a reality was approximately 25 years. Abram had to wait for God's timing in order to receive the promise of God. When we want God's perfect will and things that he has promised to us, sometimes we must wait. God's time and our time is not always the same. And God's way of doing things is not always our way of doing things. Genesis 15:4-5 tells us this: "Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. When we wait on God to fulfill his promises, it shows that we have faith in him. When we take matters into our own hands, it shows that we doubt God and what he has promised to us. The last thing that Isaac shows us is a covenant with God. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham was told by God that he was going to richly bless him. We can see that in the passages before in Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Isaac was only the first of many blessings that God gave to Abraham. So this morning, what are you believing God for? Does it seem like it's taking forever to come to pass? Are others around you being blessed and you feel like God has forgotten about you? He hasn't. Do you feel like some prayers work fast and others take too long? Perhaps you're growing weary and ready to take matters into your own hands. I urge you to continue to build up your faith and remain in your season of waiting until God is ready to bring you out of it. When you seek to move out of that season will only last longer. Don't delay your blessings any longer. Let God bring the manifestation of his promises in his timing. You may not be ready yet. He may be molding you with the ability to handle the blessing. You may not be ready for God to present it to you. In this season, give God your best so that he will return his best to you. In this season, give God your best so that he will return his best to you. While you are waiting, develop and deepen your relationship with God. God will not bring someone into your life when it has the potential to become an idol to you. When we become so focused on waiting, wanting something in our natural lives, it is easy for us to decrease our focus on our spiritual relationship with God. God knows what we need and when we need it. Don't want something so bad that you move outside of God's will. Instead, Satan will send you an Ishmael. Be patient and wait for the Isaac that God has promised to you. It would be so much greater than anything that you can go and get on your own behalf. The next time you receive what or who you think is a blessing, take it to God and ask, Lord, did you really send this? I can tell you from my own experiences that he will show you, and sometimes it may even happen even faster. When you get the answer that God has given you your blessing, accept it and embellish it. But if God comes back to you and says, no, this is not your blessing, you need to run away from it. Because then you will only delay the true manifestation of his promise in your life. God can't bring you an Isaac when you are working on bringing an Ishmael by your own means. As I was meditating on this message, I was reminded of a rather remarkable tree that I first learned about several years ago. It is called the Chinese bamboo tree. Here's how it works. You take the Chinese bamboo tree seed and you plant it. You water it and you fertilize it. A year goes by and nothing happens. The second year comes and you water it and fertilize it again. Another year passes and you see nothing. The third year comes. The fourth year comes and goes. You're watering and fertilizing and tending to that seed, but you see absolutely nothing. Then something extraordinary happens in the fifth year. Sometime during the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree sprouts and grows up to 80 feet in one season. The truth is that it doesn't actually grow 80 feet in one season. It grew in 5 years. For the first 4 years, the Chinese bamboo tree was growing an incredibly strong root system. It was growing, but it was growing under the ground where we can't see it. The strong root system that grew for 4 years is precisely what was needed to support the exponential growth in the fifth year and beyond. The Chinese bamboo tree is a picture of our faith and our patience. When it comes to seeing the promises of God unfold in our lives, sometimes it can take time. There are many possible dynamics at work. Divine timing, seasons, preparation, positioning, and sometimes even spiritual warfare. As you stay in faith and continue to plant and nurture good seeds, know that God is at work. He is the master orchestrator, and he's adding and increasing in ways that we probably aren't even aware of. Yield yourself to the process of maturing in Christ and developing patience. James 1:4 tells us this: "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When we allow patience to have its perfect work in our lives, we can become fully developed, lacking in nothing. Our struggle is no different than Abraham's. God tests us, and he doesn't jump when we think he should. When we see our hope slipping away, like Abraham, sometimes we want to jump in and give God a hand. Now, as I close this morning, I wanted to share something with you that it may seem sacrilegious at first, but please follow along with me. God is not asking us to put our faith in his promises, but to put our faith and hope in him. When we are looking at the promises and blessings of God, even our works and personal ministries that we know God has called us to, if these things become our focus, we will feel desperation when it seems to be slipping away and out of reach. God does not want us to put our focus on anything but him. Even ministry can be works of the flesh if it becomes in our strength, in our labor. When we forget this, our flesh will take over. We are capable of doing almost anything in the name of God when we begin to take desperate measures. Our ministry is not our purpose. The works God has called us to is not our purpose. Our purpose is to love God and glorify him. If our ministry falls apart tomorrow for something outside of our control, it shouldn't matter because it already belonged to God. The only thing that matters and our only purpose for which we have been created is a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of that relationship, God produces fruit and God is glorified. It's not our job to produce glory to God. It's our job to reflect his glory. Amen. I share that with you this morning because sometimes I believe we can get so focused on the promises of God that we lose sight of the supplier of those promises. Will you please stand with me this morning? So what has God promised to you that you are still waiting for? I urge you to keep standing on those promises, not losing sight of our Father in heaven. Have you made attempts to try to bring that promise into reality by your own means? Do you need to repent for trying to take matters into your own hands? Sometimes waiting on that promise, God is shaping and molding us to prepare us for that promise. Maybe you have lost sight of that promise and the promise giver. Maybe we've only been focused on the promise. I'm not sure what promises you are waiting for, but God does, because he's the one who actually told you that promise in the first place. So as we close this morning, let's get, if you want to gather up front this morning, we're going